0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of some big European qualifiers for Scottish clubs. Rangers are in Poland after securing the signing of Daisuke Yokota, a Japanese winger. Hearts, Motherwell, Hibs also in action on the continent. And Celtic confirm Martin O'Neill has undergone a small procedure in hospital but is set to be released in the next day or two. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight, your Partick Thistle takeover on a Wednesday night. It is Tony Watt and Alex Ray. We're back. The league season is back. We've got European qualifiers round the corner. The transfer window is open. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, firstly, just obviously want to point out the Martin O'Neill thing. I hope everything's well and I hope his health's well, because that's the first priority. But yeah, the season's back. It just makes it so much better. The fact that we had a game on Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday was a joy. I love Scottish football. I'm a massive advocate for it, and hopefully that will happen a lot more this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the round two this coming weekend. But before that, Gordon, we've got four teams in Europe. Really important that we get some positive results going into the second legs, and then hopefully we can get all four teams going through. And again, as I said, I'm really looking forward to the fixtures this weekend.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So please, nice and early, get those calls in and let us know what you are thinking. I'd imagine there'll be some well wishes for Martin O'Neill, as Tony mentions, but at the same time, I think clearly health and privacy probably the priorities at the moment, so not really one we can elaborate on or speculate about or any of that sort of stuff. But it goes without saying everyone here wishes him well as well. After we left last night, Rangers confirmed the signing of Japanese winger Daisuke Yokota. So Rangers fans, you've had another 24 hours to do the YouTube deep dive and let us know what you've seen, what you like, what you don't like, how you see him fitting in, what has to come next in terms of transfers, and then a big European qualifier tomorrow. Off the back of league disappointment on Friday, this is the last chance actually to get your pre-match thoughts in, because it's an early kick-off tomorrow. So we know the way football works in this country. You're all the experts. You know where Derek McInnes and Rangers went wrong on Friday night. So why not give us a call? Let us know what changes you want to see, who should play where, what the system should look like, any players that need to be dropped, any players that need to come in to give Rangers the best chance of improving on Friday's performance. Let us know, because like I say, the scheduling tomorrow is the last chance for you to get your pre-match thoughts in now. So 0141 951 1025. How do you see that game over in Poland going? How would you line up? Personnel, shape, all the rest of it. Get your thoughts in. A plea to you, Hearts, Hibs, Motherwell fans as well out there in the continent. We'd love to hear from you. Sympathies with Hearts, I think you have to say. Where's the fairness in that when you get a sore one in the Europa League and you drop down to take on Benfica?
We were talking about it today. I remember, was it third place used to go into Europa League playoff and then straight into the conference, so they'd be guaranteed a couple of million? Was it Hibs and Aberdeen both?
Yeah, so Hearts are guaranteed nothing.
Right, I find that bizarre. And even Motherwell, like,
it's the coefficient now, isn't it?
Motherwell have won a game and then they've got Helsinki. So it's as if they've got an alright team, warmed up to a wee bit better team, and then Freiburg. That's
Europa League finalists 3 months ago.
It's
great.
It's tough. It's tough ask, isn't it?
It's a bizarre. I don't understand what's happened with the coefficients, but the Hearts one for me, it's
lots of defeats. That's what's happened. Yeah.
It's a Scott. We wonder what the problem with Scotland and Europe is. And Hearts have played what, two competitive games and get spanked in both. Let's be honest, in terms of 6-0 in aggregate. I just think there's a world where the League Cup can be tailored a little bit more, so that these teams have got four or five games going into these.
We'll get them into the League Cup as well.
Especially if it's, and no offence to the smaller teams, because we're a team in our lower division. League 2, League 1, Championship teams. Why can't Hearts be playing three or four games before to help them out? I know people say it's because of Europe, they're not in it. I actually think it would be better if they were in it. Celtic, Rangers.
Better prepared.
Even Rangers at the weekend, everybody's going, oh, we dropped points. That was Derek McInnes's first competitive game. Of course, with so many new signings, they're going to have a little bit of teething problems. If they had played three games or four games in the League Cup, he would have found out who's ready, who's got what it takes.
Well, to be fair, there's one way to get ready. Go and put six past Partick Thistle in a bounce game in between Dundee United and a trip to Poland.
It's 6 minutes in. It's 6 minutes in, and he's having a goal.
What was your involvement?
I was in the couch.
Ah, right. Okay.
They let me off with
nothing to do with you.
They didn't want it to be 8 or 9 now.
Does Mark let you manage the bounce games?
No, not at all. No,
listen,
to do with
no,
it's him. Look, by the way,
he wouldn't ever go again.
Washing their hands of it.
No, you know the thing is, it was a really good exercise. We had a lot of middle to front players who will feature over the next couple of weeks, Gordon. And it's exactly what Tony's talking about. You're trying to get good opposition, and you look at the personnel that Rangers had. It was like international after international. Yeah. You get an opportunity to see some of the new players as well. And then obviously they had Majovski and the Deary up top. So it was a really good test for our boys. And no, we're really pleased that we got the minutes in the boys' legs.
Because I would never ask you to tell secrets, but it seemed to have been fairly widely reported anyway. So I think Nadiri got a hat trick, didn't he? Would he be the kind of obvious one that maybe benefited from?
Yeah, well, but I think a lot of them. I know we get Conor Barron as well. You know, Lyle Cameron was there. I just thought from their point of view as well, it was a good task. I thought middle to front we were quite strong. We had a really young back line. But that would be a great experience for the boys. But so I think both parties benefited, Gordon, because again, it gets more minutes, as Tony said, into some of these guys because they're going to need them in tomorrow night.
Get your calls into us, remember, 01419511025. All your thoughts on the European games tomorrow, particularly you Rangers fans. It is an early kickoff, so this is our pre-match discussion, really. What would you do to that team? What needs changed from Friday? Whether that is shape, personnel, both. These European qualifiers are unforgiving. They're very important. They come early in the season. So what would you do? What do you make of the new signing? What needs to come next? Celtic fans, we just talk about your signings every night, really. And I suppose we're only 2 days on from the game on Monday. So anything that's come to mind since then, anything you want to get off your chest about Casper Hoo or the way Celtic are lining up, please do feel free. I can already see calls coming in. And whilst, look, this is clearly an open forum, we generally say what we think. I don't know about the wisdom of speculating about Martin O'Neill's health. Maybe I'll just bear that in mind as we move on between now and 8
Absolutely.
O'clock. So 01419511025. How did it feel to have the Championship back winning start at the weekend?
Really good. It was a difficult outing. Morton away is never easy. Sticky pitch. Really, really stuffy team who done well against us, and we got the 3 points. That was all that matters. And it just feels good. The league football coming back, it feels good. Like we're saying about Celtic and Rangers, it was. It's just good to watch and see where they're at. And I was going to ask you something. When I know Celtic and Rangers have both put a bid in for the same player. That's not happened in years, has it? When was the last time you remember that?
An old-fashioned tug of war, as they would call it in the
It doesn't
the
really happen a lot, does it? When you would imagine it to be, you'd imagine it to happen quite a lot. And
I think it happens more than you know.
Under the carpet.
I just think that both teams will be going roughly for the same kind of price range. And I think the market's so small, they'll be competing with
this
a couple of...
This is Gemis, the winger from Italy.
Yeah. And I just think, like Belgium, you know, like Bruges and Anderlecht, so they all kind of hit that kind of level
kind
of expenditure spent.
And then, going the other way, I always think nowadays with the way it works with agents, if you phone one of those clubs and offer your player, you phone the other.
Yeah.
Because it's the same sort of level, roughly same wage structure.
Yeah. You're going to play them off against each other.
Exactly. And a few quid extra in the guy. No,
One needs to pretend they didn't want him anyway.
And by the way, the both teams are going for it in terms of making some big signings. Obviously, the last couple of years, you've went Chermiti and now you're going Duran, Ho. Obviously, he made his debut, Casper Ho, in Monday. And I was saying to Al this morning, was it you, isn't he?
Aye.
Negrin looks as if he's just got the same wavelength as the guy, and Negrin looked as every bit of the £20 million player because his overall game was a lot better. I don't know if he's went away and got confidence for the World Cup, but it was as if he thought, I've seen this guy play, I know what he's all about, I know his movements, and he was just moving the ball that bit quicker, and he looked every bit of the player people expect him to be.
Come on then, what are you thinking out there tonight? Most of the focus would be on the qualifiers tomorrow. Maybe a look back on Celtic Park on Monday as well, given that it is only Wednesday. Transfer window or something else entirely, you tell us. 01419511025. I just keep hammering the point in case anyone's lost track of the scheduling. It is an early kickoff tomorrow, which means this is our pre-match Rangers discussion. So what does the team need to look like? Who didn't do the business the other night and needs bombed out? Who needs brought in? What needs altered? Give us all your thoughts. Because it is, Alex, we mentioned it earlier, it's such a crucial time. We see this all the time with Scottish clubs. You've got no time to get up to speed. You play these massive games, they're massive financially, yeah. They carry obvious sporting advantages for getting through in European competition. Always think the kind of PR that comes with that then, if you are a Derek McInnes or any new manager or whatever, and you don't start the league well and then the qualifiers go wrong round about it. There's just so many reasons that the kind of pressure is on.
Without doubt. A lot of people say that as well about the League Cup, Gordon. You know, it's always just a build up, but this is actually the scrutiny is so much more because of the expectations of the clubs in Europe, and none more so than Rangers. You look at the opening game, it'll be disappointing to drop 2 points in, you know, day one. And then you go into the European arena. I remember myself, we get knocked out against CSK Moscow back in the day. You would think the roof had caved in, you know, the scrutiny and the pressure had come on, and then all of a sudden a couple of weeks later you've got the Old Firm game to contend with. So you have to hit the ground running very quickly, especially when you've got a new manager in place as well. And I've got a host of players who wouldn't have a sample to scrutiny that they're currently under. So it's important that they actually get some positive results in this tie over in Poland.
And the new winger as well. Japanese market is obviously, as everyone knows, something that Celtic have explored in recent seasons very well. I think he's going to be Rangers' first ever Japanese signing. I think clearly everyone thought Rangers were crying out for wide players. They've gone and got one.
Yeah, without doubt. I think, listen, I know one's come through the door, but I think there seems to be a need for more. I think when you look at the lack of width that they showed at the weekend, Kasama was the only natural one. Obviously, you have young Finlay Curtis, who has come back from Kilmarnock, but would he be a starter? There would be an argument for him to start amongst the Rangers fans, but I think the manager will be looking to at least bring in another one, possibly two wingers, because they need strength and depth in that area.
Yeah, I think young Curtis will play his part this season, but it might take a couple of weeks or months for him to really get his place cemented. Him and Gassama are probably Rangers' best two out and out wide players. If you're wanting two players to put their ankles on the touchline and get the ball wide and get balls into the box, but Rangers need more than that. Rangers need basically 2 11s. They need to go. Europe's massive. See, Derek McInnes will be forgiven for drawing at Dundee United if he gets through these European games unscathed, gets his team together and starts to heat up. You hear a lot of players talking about pre-season, it's my first game, it's this. I just think that he needs a little bit more time. He needs his own players, and he spoke about it after the game and said, he basically put a push on the board saying we need a
help.
Bit more quality,
need help.
Which I totally agree with. You need to remember the last few years Rangers haven't won a lot. McInnes isn't going to come in and win every single game from day one to day 38, and well, match day one and match day 38. So I think Friday, albeit not the best performance, he will take small stuff from that. He'll look at the back line in the kind of nonchalant defending for Dundee United's goal, and he's the type of manager who'll have them in a room. He will batter that out them in terms of information and tell them exactly what they need. And if people don't listen, they won't play. And that's the difference for me with Derek McInnes than maybe other managers who have let standards slip. And I think he will. These European games probably matter more than the league at the moment. I know at Rangers every game matters, but if they can go through to the Europa League, get Rangers in Europe, like Rangers and Celtic need European football, then he can build on that with a bigger squad.
In many ways, Alex, I wonder if this, just on paper, is... this is the one, the most important one, because the, again on paper, the next round, the couple of opponents there look easier than
absolutely,
what they've got at the moment. And then this is the away tie of this, the away leg, sorry, of this tie. So again on paper, this would be the most difficult challenge. It feels like Rangers need to get this one right, and then hopefully the rest will follow for them.
Yeah, I think tomorrow night it's important they get a positive result. And you've obviously kind of put out a kind of statement there. Who would you change? Who would you play? And so forth. I would absolutely go out on a limb and say Chermiti's your number one starter. You have to play him. He's mobile. He's got trickery, and he's got a goal in him. And I can only see this boy growing in strength over the coming year. And but again, you need service and good players round about him.
Come on then. 0141 951 1025. Looking forward to the games tomorrow. Looking back on the weekend, transfer business, anything else, your call. Thomas is first through. Hi, Thomas.
Gordon, hi Tony, hi Alex.
Thomas.
No bad pub. The reason I'm phoning up again, I go back to Celtic and the signings, guys. I really don't know what Celtic is playing at all. I mean, we're letting players go willy nilly. There, Ingles might be going, Hattaya might be going, Johnston might be going. You know, and we're just not strengthening. I really don't know what's going on here. I really think Michael Nicholson and everybody in the Celtic board should really take a hard look at themselves and just really strengthen this team. We're going into these Champions League qualifiers with absolutely nothing.
I think Bernardo's gone as well, Thomas. I think he's going to Poland on loan.
I heard that, Alex. I just really don't know what we're doing. I mean, we're letting players go and we're not strengthening. We're just not letting... Saying an end, I really don't understand why he's was going on with Celtic at all.
I suppose though, Tony, so Paulo Bernardo does leave, confirmed. He hasn't been rightly or wrongly hasn't been in the picture recently, so that takes him up to 15, I think. Now that's including loans and guys that were kind of surplus to requirements. So 15 out the door. I mean, surely Alistair Johnson and Arne Engels get replaced if they're leaving. I mean, that's like absolutely unthinkable. But should they be waiting until they go and then trying to do that last minute? I suppose that's maybe a more pertinent question.
What Celtic need to do? See, Bernardo, he doesn't need replaced. Bernardo wasn't in Martin O'Neill's plans. Hatate last season, near the end, isn't in Martin O'Neill's plans. So see, they two, they can go. That's going to happen. For me, Engels needs replaced. They probably needed another centre mid as well. So if Engels goes, they need two. So I would bring one in, even if Engels is in the building, just to kind of help. Probably like a number six to help Cal McGregor if they want to play two with Negrin in front, then they can do that. Johnson, for me, they need... I liked when they had Araujo and then Johnson was coming back. They need two. They can obviously have Donovan or Ralston, but I would let maybe young Donovan go out on loan and just play 35, 40 games at a good level in SPL, but I would bring in a replacement. I think they'll have one for both of them that's just brewing in the background for when they pull the trigger on the Arne Engels one and the Johnson one, that they both come in the door. The only problem is that's happened with Kuhn and with Kyogo.
They didn't get replaced.
They never get replaced. So I can see the Celtic fans worry. Obviously, Maeda leaving would have been the big one for the Champions League qualifiers, but they've went out, got Duran and Kasper Hu, and they started them both, which I was really impressed with on Monday. A lot of people take time, and I know Kasper Ho's, I don't even know how to say his name, now I'm sounding like an owl. Kasper Ho. And now he's, him playing, I know his season's started. I was impressed with that, because it's as if Celtic are saying, right, we're not waiting about for these Champions League qualifiers, we're getting everybody in ready, and I like the way they're doing it. I like the fact that Martin O'Neill's old school in that way, but I do think that if the minute Engels or Johnson walk out the door, Celtic need to announce a signing that minute.
Gordon, just out of curiosity, is it the 11th or 12th is the European cut-off?
That's round about, yep.
Yeah, so it's not a lot. What is it, a week? Yeah.
I would let Engels go before I let Johnson go. For me, him and Carter Vickers, they two come out that team last year and you see a total different team. The two of them, I know Johnson was a wee bit quiet Monday, but him and Carter Vickers just dominate everything in that side.
Thomas, you got any faith that this all turns out rosy at the end of the transfer window? It sounds like you're pretty concerned about the way that it all might unfold.
I'm obviously concerned, Gordon. Obviously going into the Champions League, especially against a team like LASK, you know, a really, really good team, obviously Austrian champions. But I think I would like to see Johnson go, but obviously he is going to go. I like Johnson, you know, is Doug Johnston, Carter Vickers, the two of them are really, really play well. So having to lost somebody like Johnston and again Araujo, I'm going to maybe see him coming back. You know what, he done really well when he was ways in loan. I really think we should be, hey, when these players go and go, we need to sign somebody right away, and no just a panic buy, no somebody or somebody that
the team. Yeah, but see, is that the other side of it on Alistair Johnson? Yeah. He might genuinely, and I know that's just the challenge for football, everybody's a selling club now, especially our clubs, but you might struggle to adequately replace Alistair Johnson if you had 6 weeks to do it though.
Yeah, you know, 6 or 8 million pounds might not even get there.
You know, he's probably hit the type of level at Celtic that isn't going to be easy. Nobody's irreplaceable, not suggesting that for a second, but at the same token, recruitment's tough. You know, there's no guarantees for signing. He might be pretty tough to replace.
I think he's probably the second hardest player to replace in that Celtic team. I know Negrin gives goals, but If Carter Vickers left for me, that would be a disaster. But I think Johnson's the one that, if he went to the Premier League out of that starting 11 the other night, he would suit the most. I think his physicality, I think his options when he's in the final third, I think the way he defends 1v1, I just think he's a very, very good player. And I think if he went to the Premier League, I think he would go and thrive.
I think one of the key players as well Celtic lost would be McGregor. I think over the years he's been the stalwart, he's been the linchpin within that team and the driving force. And but I take Tony's point on board. I think obviously they lost him last year for a long period, Carter Vickers, and they managed to get over the line at the end. But ultimately, you want they have to bring replacements in. There's numbers getting bandied about. Is it going to be six? Is it going to be eight players coming in to replace him? When you actually look at their bench on Monday night, Gordon, it was fairly, you know, there's a lot of young guys in there, you know, wasn't a great deal of experience. And, you know, for Celtic, it's like Tony says, you want a ready-made replacement that's like for like.
0141 951 1025. Are you sharing the same transfer concerns as Thomas in Kilsyth, or are you feeling more optimistic? Let us know. And I've mentioned it many times already, this is the pre-match discussion ahead of Rangers tomorrow, because it's an early kick-off. So what changes would you make? Are you confident? And what about signings on that side of the river as well? Get in touch, we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Partick Thistle take over on a Wednesday night. Tony Watt and Alex Ray, any Jags fans want to get their thoughts over, questions over, you can do. But two men steeped in Scottish football, so happy to handle any of your talking points, whether it is transfer market, European qualifiers tomorrow. Maybe we could really reach out. Maybe we could try and find a Motherwell fan in Helsinki or a Hearts fan that's made the trip to Portugal, and look ahead to those European games tomorrow as well. Rangers fans, not a lot of love for your start to the season. I'm thinking back to the weekend shows, Monday shows, lots of negativity, lots of frustration and anger. So how are you feeling about the game tomorrow? Do you think you'll win? Do you think you'll come through the tie? How would you change the team to give you the best possible chance? Because I know everybody's got an opinion on that. That's the way we work here. So calls in, please, on the usual number whilst we bring in David, who's on the line. Hi, David.
Hi, lads. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, David.
Not bad.
How you doing?
Not bad. I want to talk about just the overall Celtic's approach to the summer transfer window over the past, let's say, decade or so. For a board that's perceived by everybody to be very risk-averse and not preparing for these qualifiers of the Champions League, they're actually the polar opposite of risk-averse. The money that's at stake, we've lost 7 out of 9 Champions League playoff qualifiers: Kaira, Michelin, Cluj, Maribor, like Athens, Ferencváros, Malmo, and all of those teams, if we were to play them in, let's say, September in a group stage, we'd probably beat them. So they're just so ill-prepared by just seeing what tournament we get in rather than strengthening to get into these playoffs with players that are going to be leaving rather than having their replacements who are talking to qualify for the Champions League, rather than playing players who are don't care much because they're not going to be in it anyway. I just feel like rip it up and start preparing for trying to qualify before anything else. The league will take care of itself.
I think that is the ultimate regret, isn't it? It's one thing going out in the qualifiers, but almost all of them, David's probably right, they are ties that you feel like Celtic would have just won them 6 weeks later. In fact, 4 weeks later, which is... But I don't know, I was looking back at the starting 11s for the Kaira Almaty game last season. The starting 11 was still pretty strong, but it's maybe just that depth, you know, those options, and now we're not quite factoring in what happens with Engels and Johnson. Because we said this the other night, Celtic starting 11, I don't think there was loads wrong with that on paper the other night. There's a little debate about front two, can those two fit in? But was anyone looking at the starting 11 and saying that's got glaring, massive holes in it?
The starting 11 for me, if you keep Alistair Johnson, they need to upgrade two positions. Engels and Yang. I think Yang's a good player, but I think Celtic can go out and sign a winger. They need to. They've probably not done it in a while. For me, last season, the Kairat game, there was just a lot of negativity about it. I think Brendan Rodgers had... There was a wee bit of unrest about him, and you could see the cracks kind of starting after. But like you said, the seven teams that have put Celtic out, they're not of a Benfica standard or these kind of teams where you go, or a PSV, I think Rangers. Yeah. Did Rangers get beat off PSV, was it? you accept that. I know you're saying about CSK Moscow back in the day when they're spending big money. It's still a disaster, but you accept that a little bit more. Getting put out of a Kazakhstan team, or was it, who was the other one he said? Athens?
There's been a few.
There's Michelin. Like, these teams for me shouldn't be beating Celtic and Rangers, but I think, and I'm not making excuses for Celtic and Rangers, I think there's a little problem with Scottish football where, and I'm not going to say, oh, we need summer football. Obviously, the weather's not great here in the winter, but if we had played three or four games before that and the starting 11, I think they win them, a lot of them
but
more.
But then Celtic will have played a couple of league games by then. This is not super early in that regard.
No, but no, the
18th
playoff,
of August.
Yeah, so Celtic played at the weekend, played there, they'll play again.
Yep.
So two games.
But then you get the choice to postpone one of your games.
For me, I don't
the
like
the playoffs.
The only thing is, I don't love that, to be honest. I think
by the postponement?
No, because I think you play the games as a just as a player myself. I think after you play your first game, so we do 60 minutes, then probably 30, 60 minutes, then 30 in this League Cup, and then I played 73 minutes at the weekend, and I feel like, right, I'm just starting to kind of find my feet in terms of 90s, and you get to a stage where you play a couple of 90s in a week. The Celtic players wouldn't have had that. Obviously, Johnson just came back for the World Cup, same with Trusty. Kieran Tierney was away, Negrin. These guys probably haven't done a full pre-season either, so I still think they're 3 or 4 weeks away from being at top, but Celtic should be prepared to beat LASK by the time it comes. I do get that, and I did say it a couple of minutes ago.
Still Austrian champions, though.
Yeah, and I did say it a couple of minutes ago. The fact that Martin O'Neill threw Duran and Ho in straight away, I was really impressed by, and same with Rangers. Like, Rangers have played, what, one competitive game before they play tomorrow. If they lose in this double legger, they're in the conference. So
how much worse is this going to feel, David, if someone, if like Alistair Johnston and Arne Engels leave? How do you feel about their potential departures?
Look, it wouldn't be a problem, because it's our model. And these players should be sold for big money, but it's just that they should have the replacements in before they leave. I mean, we'd the perfect scenario, whenever we'd Josip Juranovic, we signed Johnson, and then we could sell him. Do you know what I mean? It's proved that it can be done. Do you know what I mean? But as it stands now, I'd be keeping Johnson and keeping Engels to get through the qualifiers as it stands, because we'll have a better chance of winning them. But a much better situation would be if they have their replacement and who want to qualify, who come. I want every player in our squad to want to play for Celtic. I mean, last season when we were playing Kairat, Maida was already pissed off because he didn't want to be there. He'd been promised a move, so. Do you know what I mean? You want to begin in with all guns firing, and I think that's when we'd be more likely to qualify.
I'll need to dig out my wee book of
word, if that comes under the no go
words that you're not allowed to say.
The crossbar.
My gut feeling is that's a yellow card to David. I'll ask for his apologies if the language offended anyone. But there won't. I don't think there'll be a notice of complaint. I don't think there'll be any retrospective ban. Just maybe a wee slap in the wrists for David, and we all move on and pretend it never happened. Apologies if anyone didn't like David's turn of phrase. But I get what David was saying about this being this is the model. Celtic fans are used to this. Is it getting a bit harder to stomach now for some fans, though, because a lot of it in the past has been done from a position of strength.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone's feeling quite good and you accept it, and there was maybe a feeling then in years gone by that the next one was lined up.
Yeah.
But it feels like that faith has probably just deteriorated a little bit. And if you're already in a, you know, in a kind of precarious state in the eyes of some of your fan base, it feels a bit harder to let these people go, because fans are now saying, well, yeah, but what is the 25 million?
Yeah.
What does it do for you? You know, what does it get you now? It feels like that's shifted.
You remember we were here on deadline day with Arne Ingles, and we said, you can't reject the 25 million. You can't. And they rejected it.
And
do you know what?
Because they had to.
They had to, because
no replacement. It was the last minute, was it?
And obviously being in and around Celtic fans, and the first thing you hear is, I don't trust the board to replace them. Everybody's the same. You see the protests a lot. I think Celtic would be crazy to let Alistair Johnson go before this qualifier. Don't get me wrong, the Engels one, I think he can be replaced. I think 25 million, you've got to say that kind of money's incredible. But I think Johnson, you can't let him go before. And Celtic do really need to, in this transfer window, the Duran and the whole one have helped them out a little bit, but they do really need to put a foot down and say, to show the support, that we can run a club in a transfer window by bringing in quality players and we don't need to sell. We are in a position of strength. We've won the league. We're going to keep doing it because that is what Celtic's all about. Rangers too, they both want to win the league. But this is really the chance. January was, they got away with it because it was a hard window, but if the Celtic board don't win this transfer window, they're on a shaky peg.
So if we talk pure numbers, Alex, though, even let's say, and I'm being totally general about this, it might be more, it might be less, let's say 35 million for Johnson and Ingles combined.
Yep.
Whatever that makeup is, right? Might not be a million miles off that. The question then actually doesn't become about how much are Celtic willing to spend, because you've got that, you know, you would absolutely just be replacing, and you could replace well within that, you would imagine. Yeah. You know, if you went and then signed, I don't know, an £8 million right back and another £12 million midfielder, you're still sitting on a nice profit. But again, people have stopped being excited by that. It feels like the bank bit is not, it's just not getting the fans going. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And as much as they're running a business, the board, I think the fans want to see good quality players being replaced. I think the fact that you've had 7 months for Engels, you would like to think over that piece, you think someone's coming back again in the summer for him. So,
do you think that conversation as well, similar to Maeda perhaps in January, is we can't let you go just now, here's why, hopefully you understand, but once the summer rolls around, is that usually how those things...
Listen, you're reading between the lines, Gordon, because I got the impression that Maeda wanted to leave last summer and it didn't quite materialise.
He didn't he?
Yeah, well, so that kind of backs that up. But I think... out of, like, you know, you say a gentleman's agreement, the board will actually speak to the players and say, see the next window, we will have someone lined up for that. And that's the reason why I suggest you've had 7 months for Engels. And as well as Alistair Johnson's done, the World Cup's just kind of catapulted him up to the level that Premier League clubs are going, this guy can do it, because he was such a good World Cup for him.
Thank you very much to David. Oh, before we go any further, let me tell you about the big Scottish Golf Day. This is going to appeal to lots of our listeners and a couple of our pundits, but you two will probably be training and you won't be able to take part. Listen to this for a prize. So we've given you the ultimate VIP golfing getaway, and you're going to help Cash for Kids at the same time. So it seems to me like a bit of a win-win. So it's all happening at the Carrick, of course, well-known, just up the road, Friday the 21st of August. But here's the exciting bit. So your team of four will get chauffeured to the golf by GGS Executive Travel. You get breakfast, a four ball at the Carrick, which is a lovely spot, a beer, a pie at the halfway house, barbecue lunch, a Q&A with the Super Scoreboard pundits, and we sort you out with an overnight stay at the five-star Cameron House in Loch Lomond, and your luxury travel home the following day. That's a good, that's a brilliant prize.
It's brilliant.
Genuinely.
It's brilliant.
I'm not obliged to say that just because it's on a sheet in front of me. That sounds right up.
Can we win it?
My street, probably not. But for your chance to win, text golf to 84901 and make a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So you're giving your fiver to children that need your help in our local area, and you might win that brilliant prize at the same time. Like I said, ultimate win-win. The text costs one standard message plus your fiver donation. The donation is taken within 60 minutes. If you don't want to donate, you can cancel. But why would you do that? Over 18s only. You must ask the bill payer's permission. T's and C's at Clyde1.com, and lines close 8 p.m. Wednesday 12th of August. So text golf to 84901.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here talking transfers, European qualifiers, first weekend of the season. It's all in there, so please join them on the phones, and the power of these phone lines. You know something, you just throw one out there and it lands. I said, I wonder if we'll get any Motherwell fans in Helsinki.
Oh, go on.
And Greg has answered the call. How are you, Greg?
Good, aye, yourself, guys?
Good, thank you. Good. How is it? How's Finland?
It's good. It's good. As I say, we're starting to gather out, as we do, as a lot of clubs do. So just thought it was our opportunity to say, listen, this is our time, you know. Just find ourselves quite fortunate to be in this position. So,
you sound in quite a good state of mind for someone who's deep into a European away day. Pacing yourself?
I'll be honest with you, it's state of mind, but it's been a nightmare of a travel, to be honest with you. Great plans. I've not came to fruition, but aye, we're here now.
Why? What's happened? Come on, share it with us.
So we left at 8 o'clock last night, Tuesday night, on the way down to Heathrow to drive down to Heathrow for direct flights. We thought it'd be best to get direct flights. We got a text message halfway down to say that we'd been bombed off the flight, and as a result of that, we had to then go to Frankfurt. We only had an hour transfer in Frankfurt. Passport control was an absolute nightmare. Long story short, we got here later than we expected, but worth every minute, you know.
Well, only worth it's every brilliant. Minute if Motherwell don't get it's battered. Brilliant. The dedication
resolve,
to the cause.
The resolve. They always manage to get there.
He's given himself plenty of time. What about on the pitch then? Because it's obviously been a fairly positive start, winning through the previous tie, winning at Easter Road at the weekend. I mean, one of the biggest fascinations, Greg, of this season, I think, for everyone, even non-Motherwell fans, was going to be to see how this team reacts to losing all the players, losing the manager. How are you feeling?
Losing players as part of being a Motherwell fan, in my opinion, it is what it is. I mean, as a result of what we achieved last year, we've benefited from that. We've got cash in our pocket. We seem to have the right strategy to go forward. An early indication, I was there on Sunday, early indications based on friendlies, based on the previous round and based on Sunday, it all looks well. So, but as a Motherwell fan, you've just got to accept, you know, what will be, but I think the last couple of years, it goes without saying, it's just been a great, experience to share as fans, as share as a club. So, that's the reason I called in. It's the night start tonight and building up for tomorrow. It's on moment, you know, without being too deep about it. You know, it's just we don't experience this much. So, we'll crack on and see what comes out.
This feels like a proper European qualifier, Tony. And what I mean by that is of the level that this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But it's winnable, and it would be a good one to win too often, because it's not to diminish what Motherwell did in the previous round. It had to be done. It was really professionally done. But if you can't beat opposition from the Faroes, you've got a real issue. This to me feels like one that Motherwell have got a chance to go make a proper statement. And then if you fall short against the Europa League finalists in Freiburg, that's where you get cut some slack. But can they go and win this one?
I think they can go and win it. I think Motherwell's probably one of the most suited teams in this league to European football. The way they knock the ball about, the way they press the ball. I think their numbers last year were the highest in the league in terms of recoveries. I just think that this Helsinki are a team that you would probably expect to face in the Europa League maybe 10 years ago. A big club, a well-known club. And look, Motherwell will go give it their all like they do. I watched him at the weekend. I was so impressed by Saeed. I thought he was brilliant. He was a proper throwback. And I think after doing that the weekend, away to Hibs, not an easy game, after playing in Europe with obviously travelling, etc., still after losing basically most of your team, I don't want to really bore you, but the goalkeeper left, right back injured, centre-back injured, centre-back left, centre-mid has left, and then you've got your two attacking midfielders have left, so there's about seven players now that aren't there for last season. To go and be so comfortable at times in that game was, and by the way, Saeed's not even a striker, and he looked every bit of a number nine at the weekend. I was so impressed with him.
Because I like Greg's sort of attitude to it all, saying, listen, losing players is part of being a Motherwell fan. I don't recall ever losing this many though, this amount of them, good ones,
yeah.
And then the manager, because I think everyone, I would have loved to have seen that Jens Motherwell team at full tilt last year, as Tony said. I'd love to have seen that in Europe.
They beat that
because just stylistically. But the good thing is, Alex, the early signs are that the Alfred Johansson version is doing not too bad, considering what they've had to come through.
Yeah, I was fascinated, Gordon. We were at a game on Sunday, and I was kind of looking to see what the new manager would trap up with. It was very similar in style, you know, the way they popped it about, the two sixes dropping down, the nine dropping down and runners getting in behind, and then obviously Masuanisi came on later on in the game, so he's trying to get up to speed due to that injury.
You and Mark Wilson had him left by then to beat the traffic and missed the winning goal. Listen, I've got sources everywhere.
Didn't know that. He'd never said that.
Missed the winning goal of the weekend.
Don't worry about it. I've seen it. And I think, you know, when you talk about European football soaking up pressure, and then you can kind of transition and the speed in which they did the weekend, all one touch stuff. It was really impressive. So it was kind of seamless. And obviously the addition, I was quite happy with the boy. Is it Moorman?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was decent as well.
That guy scored the world in
the first leg.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he came in and he impressed at the weekend as well. So that, I think they've recruited well again, Gordon, as the caller said, Greg. Plenty in the bank as well. And listen, see the guys that are currently still there from last season, if they showcase what they can do again, that's obviously two seasons of playing in a style that would suit a lot of people. And again, Motherwell are a selling club, so they generate money, so they're in a very healthy place.
And Motherwell are a team who look as if they've went reset and found an identity. Scottish football teams don't usually do that. We've got a thing in this country where people say we need to be this, we need to be that, but looks like Motherwell have went and reset a little bit, got an identity and signed players to fit into that identity while selling players. They're going to reinvest it into a training ground. Motherwell can only get stronger from
now. Do you think they will come through this tie, Greg, and set up a trip to Germany?
I think, to be honest with you, in an ideal world, that would be the perfect scenario. But going back to what you're saying, we pick up players and we seem to have done all right. And when you look at other clubs, and it's not about other clubs really, but when you look at other clubs in years gone by, there's been a lot of average players that have came and gone, and there's no one of any note. But this year, we've had Just, we've had Watt, with even players like even goalkeepers like Callum Ward, where you think to yourself, you know, he's doing a job for Motherwell, but there's other clubs like Queen's Park that have come in and said, you know, we can pay the money. He can bring something to us. So I think the big key is for Motherwell is we bring in players. We're honest and enough to say to these players, the impression I get is we're honest enough. Come to Motherwell. If you do well, we'll not stand in your way. Away and progress yourself. And I think in the problem with Scottish football in a general is years gone by, we've just brought players in, not just Motherwell, but every club, to fill in a gap, to move them on, and there's not been any legacy. So, I mean, we talk about legacy, it's about, you know, like securing the club's future. And that's where we're at right now. So, it's all positive just now.
Absolutely. Do you know the players that always get missed out of the list when you talk about players leaving? Stephen Welsh was one of the best defenders in the league last season. But because it was a loan that came to an end, people don't seem to mention it. And as you say, genuinely, Slattery was every bit as good as Just and Watt and everyone else. But again, his contract came to the end, so it wasn't a big transfer fee. And people always forget about those.
I'm biased with Slats because I've seen him in action. The year I left, the year later, he got a bad injury. He would have moved. There would have been a lot of teams sniffing about. He got an ACL injury. See, when he came back, not Jens' season, just at with Wimmer, he ripped it up. Can you remember that wee period where we stagnated a wee bit and he came back and he scored all the goals?
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable.
You still got sources in that dressing room. Are they happy with what they're seeing at the moment?
Yes,
what they're
really happy with. I think they're all impressed. I think usually the best sign is when you don't hear a lot of negativity. Usually when a new manager comes in, there's a wee bit of slagging. We all do it. Like, I slag Al every day to his face, though. And it's all together. But sometimes you're at a club and people are starting to leak things. Stuff doesn't get leaked from other people. And you start to hear, like, wee jokey things about managers. And you know what it's like in Scotland. You don't hear that. It's all positive about Alfred and... Obviously, I think at the weekend it showed you by the product, but he delivered. It was amazing.
Greg, enjoy the rest of your trip. Hopefully your return journey is a bit easier than the outward one. In the meantime, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. You have to get your call in before 7 o'clock. It's 0141 951 1025. Take on Alex Ray or Tony Watt.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. 01419511025. Let's hear from you whether you want to look ahead to tomorrow's European qualifiers, look back in the weekend. Everyone's on moaning about their transfer business. There is a lot to get through there, so please do get in touch. By this time tomorrow, will we be done? Are we well through? Is it 5 or 6 o'clock? Remind me. The Rangers kick off. It's an early one tomorrow. Yeah. But either way, this is your last chance to have your pre-match discussion. So Rangers fans, you were all quick enough to come on and moan about Friday night, and understandably so. But how do you fix that? What do you do for the trip to Poland? Who do you play? Who do you not play? What do you shuffle around if you were Derek McInnes? Give us your thoughts right now on that, actually, and we'll speak to you next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Is there a joke about Helsinki buses and two coming along at once? I don't know if that quite works the same as it does here, but Rachel is another Motherwell fan in Helsinki who wants to play Beat the Pundit. How are you, Rachel?
I'm good, Gordon. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played before?
No, I've not. I've always wanted to play. It's a lifelong dream.
And you just decided to do it whilst you're out of the country?
Well, aye, it's a bit of a trend, isn't it? So I thought I would join in.
Quite right. Have you got anyone to back you up over there? That's allowed. The more the merrier.
There could be a few Motherwell fans surrounding me at the minute.
Right, okay, I've had a wee look. I might make up a Motherwell question on the spot because there aren't any on there. But anyway, there's a spoiler for you. I'll toss the coin, Rachel. If it is the blue side, it will be Tony Watt you play, and the red side, it will be Alex Ray. You were panicking a bit there. I saw you having a flick through, saying you hadn't looked at the news today.
Nothing.
Well, I'm afraid it's you, Alex Ray, red. So Rachel,
go easy, Rachel.
Oh, well, don't worry.
Rachel and 499 other Motherwell fans up against Alex Ray on Beat the Pundit. So let's give Alex something to listen to. Rachel, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Cool.
Brilliant, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was the last Portuguese team Rangers played in the Europa League?
Porto.
Camilo Duran wears what shirt number for Celtic?
7.
Hibs opponents Skendia are from which country?
Moldova.
Other than Kilmarnock, who's the only team Neil McCann has managed permanently?
Dundee.
Who was named St Mirren captain ahead of this season?
Kevin Phillips.
Which English club links Stephen Whittaker, Kyle Lafferty and Gary Hooper?
Blackburn.
Which club plays at Glebe Park?
Glebe Park is Montrose.
Okay, let's bring him back. Alex Ray, can you hear us?
Come on, Eileen. What a
what
tune.
What a song that is.
Well, I saw Tony sort of. It's funny because he's only. How old's your baby again?
3 weeks.
And then within 3 weeks, that was dad dancing there that you. Well, you know, I don't think you did that before.
Do you know that like song automatic. Now reminds me of Andy Halliday? I remember him putting that on the changing room, him and Shane Blaney, and just dancing about like that. Just, by the way, the most I've seen for Andy as well, by the way.
He's not quite reserved.
Bouncing about.
Nah, I can't imagine that.
I swear, ask him after the show.
Okay. 30 seconds on the clock, Alex Ray. Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Who was the last Portuguese team that Rangers played in the Europa League?
Pass.
Camilo Duran wears what shirt number for Celtic?
11.
Hibs opponents Skendia are from which country?
Macedonia. Other
than Kilmarnock, who's the only team Neil McCann has managed permanently?
Dundee.
Who's named St Mirren captain ahead of this season?
Pass.
Which English club links Stephen Whittaker, Kyle Lafferty and Gary Hooper?
Scunthorpe.
Okay, Rachel, what do you think?
Crap. Oh, I don't know. I'm
giving a shot,
to be honest.
No, I've looked at Tony. I just come out.
Oh, dear me. Right, let's go through them and find out. Who was Rangers' last Europa League opponents from Portugal? It was Porto. So 1-0 to Rachel. I'm surprised you didn't just throw that one out there.
I know. It just as a brain freeze.
Camilo Duran does wear 11, though. Equaliser.
Oh, that's a guess, I know.
Straight away for. Alex Ray, we'll come back to the next one. Other than Kilmarnock, Neil McCann has managed Dundee. You both got it. We're still level. St Mirren's captain ahead of the new season is Fraser. Marcus Fraser. Rachel named Killian Phillips. He's been the main man, but it is Marcus Fraser.
Yeah.
The English club that links Stephen Whittaker, Kyle Lafferty and Gary Hooper is Norwich. None of you got it. Rachel got an extra question. And geographically, you're not too bad, Rachel, but it's not right. Glebe Park is Mark Wilson's old team, Brechin, not Montrose. Wow. Now, I think we're about to see you go full touchline raging guy, Alex Ray here.
As I said, North Macedonia.
The producer's giving it the big one through there. I don't know which one's brave behind his keyboard, but he's saying can't give him Macedonia because he didn't say North Macedonia.
Oh,
initially.
Stop.
No,
it.
Way.
Nonsense.
Harsh,
no, I'm not playing
no,
it.
That's, I'm taking my ball away with me.
He says you have to be specific
no,
to start.
That's
listen.
You say somebody's Macedonian, don't you?
North
I
Macedonia.
And then I say that straight after.
I know.
Come on.
Don't shoot the messenger.
It's embarrassing.
We've got the tiebreaker anyway.
Come on, Rachel. Let's see if we can get Rachel a one out there.
Right.
I hope this producer's
sure,
got a
ball. Would you have won there? If you'd said
he
that.
He would have.
I've just said North Macedonia.
Come on, give me the tiebreaker music. That's not the tiebreaker music.
Look, he's in the nightmare.
Oh, by the way, you've rattled whoever it is in there because see that button they pressed? That was severely damaging. They just went to a break when they were
in the break.
You've got them all over the shop in there.
It's embarrassing.
Rachel, can you still hear us?
It's embarrassing.
Can you still hear us, Rachel?
Still hear you.
Good. Right, I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Alex to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay.
Right. What was Livingston's goal difference last season when they were relegated from the Premiership? Write it down, Alex Ray, before Rachel and her band Google it. Okay. Right, what are you going for, Rachel?
I'm going to say minus 27.
Okay, it's pretty close because Alex has gone minus 30. Rachel's gone minus 27. I'm devastated to say it's minus 35.
Oh, Rachel.
Do you hear that? Hear how many people were in the background there? Rachel made it sound like she was on her own.
No. I'm sorry about that, Rachel.
The full Helsinki Motherwell supporters branch has just shouted obscenities at you in the background.
No, listen, it's not the first time I've received a bit of abuse, but I'm just going to pop into that producer's office at the next break and scud a few people.
Do you know what's even worse, right? Other producers in this radio station who are not working are messaging me siding with you and all
that. It's a disgrace.
Shambles.
You've won anyway.
I know what his loyalties lie.
Rachel, are you going to do the business on the pitch tomorrow? The Steelmen?
I hope so. I think it's a 50-50 game, to be honest, but we looked good on Sunday, so done well against the team for the Faroes, so I'm fairly confident.
How chuffed are you at the way that so far It's been, you know, quite impressive considering what was lost in the summer?
Aye, absolutely. It's brilliant. I mean, you only need to look at the winning goal on Sunday. It's a joy to watch. So long may it continue.
You're not near the other guy, Greg, who just called in from Helsinki a minute ago, are you?
No, I don't know.
That's fine. Just wondering if they're all getting together and stitching us up by battering down the phone lines. But anyway, Rachel, right, enjoy the rest of your trip.
Yeah,
hopefully
have fun, Rachel.
Back with a victory.
Thanks very much. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. There we go. Couple of Millwall fans in Helsinki. The power of this show.
I think it's brilliant. And I have to say, I sent you a picture at the weekend. I was impressed with the actual turnout for Millwall fans as well.
You did actually from the away end at Easter Road.
No, so and they made a hell of a racket. And as I said, what a wonderful goal to get the winner.
I've got my eyes on that Freiburg.
Go on.
Mrs. Duncan doesn't really listen to this show. Because I know she'd be thinking, you went to America. You went to America for 30 days.
He thinks he's got a chance.
You went to America for 30 days in the summer. I don't know. I've still.
Do you know what?
I'm leaving the door open in my mind.
Do you know who could help you?
Then it becomes a working trip and you need to go.
They could send you over and you need to go.
That's a good point, that.
If you had a couple of words with the producers, if you take their side on the Macedonia debate, you might be all right.
Until this guy's negotiated a few contracts in his time, eh?
Well, he's had a few teams, honestly.
I will. Sign on fees are needed. I've not got many left.
That Dundee United contract still. Oof, honestly, unbelievable.
I think they're still a bit worried about that.
01419511025. Get your thoughts in ahead of those. Not to say that I'm not happy to keep the Motherwell fans coming in, but it'd be nice to hear from some of the rest of you as well. Any Rangers fans out there in Poland? You for some reason you were wanting to know the logistics. You asked me to reach out to Killian Sheridan earlier, who was on last night as a former player of Rangers opponents, because you wanted to find out how they get there, what's the journey like. And in typical sarcastic fashion, because the big man's a bit like that, he says, from the main airport, it'll be about a 2-hour coach journey, but they do have roads and trains. Make sure they bring board games, no internet, he says. I think he must be tongue-in-cheek, but...
It's not ideal. Is that too much for you? A two-hour journey after you land.
I think that's a bit excessive.
But listen, it is what it is. You have to contend with it.
That's a pre-season one where they test you a little bit, so it's not all too easy. They send you in a wee hour and a half somewhere. But you don't want to be in a bus 2 hours. When are they travelling today?
they're travelling today, yes.
You don't want to be in the bus for 2 hours the night before when they're going to need to get to the hotel, get food and then train.
I don't know. Maybe they flew into some private airport like Sheridan's contract
genuinely, I think it was, as someone had highlighted the other day, we think there's a bit of a joint, and I wasn't sure whether it was true or not, so the big fellas put us right.
Anyway, 01419511025. Let's look ahead to that game as well, if we can. Any Hibs fans? Kind of maybe a mixed feeling from you after the weekend, because you played quite well at times, and I'll reluctantly admit possibly didn't deserve to lose the game to Motherwell, but that moment of magic that the guys mentioned late on in the game was the deciding factor. Whilst we wait, another call's coming in. In fact, we were about to speak to you, Scott, Rangers fan in Bathgate. I don't know where he disappeared to, so feel free to give us a call back. Are the Rangers fans, Alex, expecting sort of big changes? Can that happen from Friday? They're clearly expecting an improvement. What does that look like personnel wise?
I don't see too many changes, Gordon, due to the fact, at least I know they've got a raft of players. As I said, I thought Chermiti would be a stick on to play tomorrow night. I think he's very limited in the back line as well in terms of defenders. So I don't see too much changing at the back. And in saying that, Gordon, I think the goal that he gave away the other night was really poor throughout the team. You know, I don't think the midfielders recovered well enough either. So that would be a source of frustration for Derek McInnes, and he'll be looking to try and rectify that. He'll be looking for another little, because as Tony says, the more you're getting these games, you want them to be sharper, crisper into the tackle, passing through the lines quicker. And whether they throw the new boy in, Yakota, then it'll be interesting to see. Probably a bit too early for that. So, you know, McCausland played the other day and I thought he did really well. I thought he took up some really good positions. So he is an out and out right sider, because I'm not sure putting a Diamandi out there or, you know, another central one works for me. Ros McCausland's obviously played European games. You know, I know Rangers fans might not agree with that, potentially going back out on loan, but for balance, he might be the most natural one to start tomorrow night.
I'd say there's going to be a few changes tomorrow. I think McInnes has got six people that probably he knows are in the strongest 11. Then other than that, it's obviously the midfield two is going to change, so that could probably make it 7 or 8. I think Curtis,
you think he'll make 7 or 8 changes tomorrow?
No, I'm saying,
oh, starters,
7 or 8 people, right, so you. For me, he's got 6 definite, and then it just depends on his midfield two. I think Godfrey needs to come out, obviously he's injured. Maybe McCrory for Sterling. I don't know if McCrory's fit.
But then you've got an issue. Do you pitch the new signing in at centre back to replace Godfrey, or do you shuffle something else
again
around?
maybe he's seen enough on Monday.
Suter's not in the European squad. It probably makes sense unless he puts Sterling in there. He's played there before, but I think Asgard, Shanklin and Chermiti need to start, so then you're probably getting Asgard off the left, and then you would need to play like a Curtis or somebody on the wing. Now the balance probably isn't there. That's the only thing. The balance isn't there, because Asgard isn't a winger, Shanklin's obviously a striker, but Chermiti needs to start. That's the problem. Chermiti's Rangers' most effective player for me at the moment. Obviously Shanklin can be that, but for me, the big games, he does turn up, Chermiti.
No, listen, I thought even when he came on at the weekend, he gave that impetus a little bit more threat in behind. I thought Rangers were quite predictable coming towards the ball. You know, a bit more direct to Nadiri. And I know he got the hat trick the other day, but I'm not sure whether he will start. But I would imagine Shanklin and Chermiti will be your number. Mm-hmm.
So Derek McInnes has done a press conference over there in the last sort of half hour or so, speaking about weighing up the situation with Macania and Yokota before deciding if they start.
I would suggest the centre-half's more likely to start, going because you're in the building.
And needed, definitely. I mean, I suppose you could make the case to say the wingers needed, but there's a proper issue at central defence tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go on, mate, on you go.
Yeah, and I think they've obviously got Curtis and Asgard who can play in the
way. Did he play in the bounce game against you guys?
I would say he probably played 60, 70 minutes.
That's fine.
He looked mobile enough, and it was interesting because he came up against an old-fashioned centre forward, and Alex Samuel's physical, strong, which would be Scottish based. You probably won't get that against this opposition tomorrow, but people that are more mobile and things, so it'll be a different challenge.
Stylistically, what did he look
like? He looked very comfortable. He was just comfortable in the ball, Gordon, mobile, good size, good profile. So, you know, I would imagine he would come in tomorrow because he's obviously been in the building longer. I'm not so sure about the Japanese lad.
Do you know the other one that's interesting because of who he is and the size of everything, really, his reputation, his standing within the club and all that? I've seen a bit of a debate online as to whether Nico Raskin, you know, should come straight back in. But it feels like on paper that can that happen? That's him literally just back.
Is he back?
Is he literally back? Play him. Seriously.
Play him till you sell him. I think.
No, I don't even mean from a selling point of view, but
physical point.
No, so none of the friendlies, no league minutes.
I think the
straight
world.
In.
I think the world. Even play him 50, 60 minutes. I think the World Cup's probably kept his match minutes there.
Is that recent enough? Yeah, is that?
Was it 3 weeks ago? Is that right, Gordon? Yeah. I think it's about 3 weeks ago now.
You would like to think you would speak to him and you'd say, what have you done? Have you done a few runs? And you would like to think that just play him, because then it would help bed in a Cammy Devlin or a Dan Neal. I think Raskin needs to play, I think, for continuity and for being able to know what it's like playing for Rangers in Europe, because it's not the same as in the league. It isn't. And he's on a wee bit of a high. He's just played for Belgium in the World Cup. Use him when he's there.
No, listen, there's two sides to this. Is he going to be sold in the coming weeks? Do you throw him in now with the potential? I seen Cifuentes the other day, he's just had surgery. So you run the risk of that. But is there a bigger
Where do you stand question? On that?
Risk and reward type thing.
If you are planning on getting a fee for him.
Yeah, well, for me personally, I would like to see him. I think the Rangers fans would like to see him, because I think if you're talking about a guy that's playing there, the level of player that you currently have, he would probably do more than the guys that are going to be there remaining there, because I think Nico will go to a higher level.
Which, to be fair, earlier on, we didn't say don't play Alistair Johnson in case he gets injured, did we?
So,
as well, he was back late.
So I just think that by actually playing him, and the thing is, he's in the squad. The fact of the matter is, he's over there, and the likelihood is that he potentially, and don't forget, he's probably played umpteen European games for Rangers over the piece. And, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Scottish football, but you'd expect that would suit him down to the ground, getting after people, getting on the ball.
See, if he does get injured, he'll still be at Rangers in a couple of months. So it's not as if they're going to lose him and that's the end they're asking. He'll be at Rangers doing his recovery and he'll be back to play for Rangers. So,
what do you think, Rangers? Would you pitch Nico Raskin straight back in or not? Would you start either of the new signings? How do you see it panning out? What would you do? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. It's usually about this time in the show when the Partick Thistle fans start getting in touch. They've got something on their minds that they want to explore with you two. That's more. You're more than welcome to do so. We were talking Rangers there and what they do with the team and whether Raskin should play and whether either of the new signings should play and all that stuff ahead of tomorrow. So I'd love to get your thoughts on it, because we've heard from Alex Ray and Tony Watt there. So same number, no matter what the topic is, 0141 951 1025. Going to do something a bit different as well in the not too distant future. I want to take a look at this story that's come out recently about the influx of the high number of young Scottish Academy players going down to English football and maybe never to be seen again, and how damaging it is for our game and all that sort of stuff. So we're going to take a little look at that in the not too distant future. But let me give you a teaser first, you two.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Oh, how fitting is this? We're going to talk about teenagers here as well. So James and Kilmarnock sent it in. Can you name the last six players to score as a teenager for Celtic or Rangers? Who are the last six teenagers to score for Celtic or Rangers?
Barry Ferguson.
Oh, no. More recently than that.
Oh, recently.
Joe McKinnon.
More recently.
I seen that yesterday. I seen it on Finn the Scottish.
Yeah. He got three goals last season.
Osmond? No.
Yep, Callum Osmond.
Aye. Is he that young?
So he was 20 by the time he scored against Hearts, but he scored against Rangers in the Cup, didn't he? Earlier last season.
So who have we got? Osmond and
Curtis. Joe, that's fine. Leave it there, because that is two out of six. Let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan in Canada. How's it going, John?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you, John. What made you call tonight?
Oh, just it's my first time caller, actually, since I've actually moved over to Canada years back in 1977. But I just phoned in about Martin O'Neill. First of all, I'd like to wish him all the best of his recovery. And just to talk a little bit about Martin O'Neill, in his press conferences, He's very crafty. You know, everybody's always trying to get information out of him on who he's bringing in and whatnot. But Martin O'Neill is there for a reason. Martin O'Neill is there, and he's good at what he does. And he will bring people through the door. And like he said, it has to be the right people.
So you're confident that gets done, though, John? Because you're right, Martin O'Neill's always talking about quality over quantity. But I think a lot of clubs say that, don't they? You're confident Celtic can carry it through?
Well, he doesn't let too much out of the bag, that's for sure. But I think knowing Martin O'Neill, he's got something in his back pocket. He always does.
Yeah, and he's going to need it as well, Gordon, because I think a lot of the Celtic fans are anxious, especially with the Champions League. I think it's 6 or 7 days before the list has to be submitted for the playoff game in the Champions League. And it's such an important game because of the money. And then obviously within the league as well, you know, I was looking at the bench from Monday night there, and, you know, with the greatest respect to the guys on there, I think strength and depth is something they're going to have to add. And then we often say about the importance of having like for like, especially at a club like Celtic, with the amount of games, European football coming down the pipe. So I think a lot of Celtic fans will be really anxious to get bodies through the door.
I think Martin O'Neill's experience and crafty old ways will, you know, provide what the Celtic fans need. John's got faith in that. But you know, it's such a big operation now out there, isn't it, that, you know, the transfer dealings and the way it works. And you know, Martin O'Neill spoke the other day, he sounded quite confident last Friday about Gyökeres. Now we don't even know if it's Rangers or if it's elsewhere.
He spoke as if it was coming in the door, and I seen he's just signed for a team in the MLS. No, I think Martin O'Neill's a short term Celtic manager. I think he'll be here a year maximum. The thing for me is, I think if you want players to come in and settle into a club, Martin O'Neill's the perfect manager. He's the guy who'll get the arm around you. He's got good coaches in there, and following him in Maloney. And I think putting Ho and Duran in so early, I keep nailing that point, I think that just shows that he knows it's about winning football matches at Celtic, whereas other managers maybe wait 2 or 3 weeks to get them up to speed, similar to that kind of Raskin one. Celtic and Rangers different. You need to win matches. And I think if these players come in, the best thing to do is get thrown straight into the Lions den and play football matches in front of the Celtic Park and Ibrox faithful.
There's not going to be Lions there, is there?
As, yeah, there might be. Remember Steven Gerrard?
As a famous Rangers manager once said.
Do you know?
John, would you still feel as comfortable if Arne Engels and Alistair Johnson left? Do you still think they could be replaced?
Yeah, I definitely think they can be replaced, especially the Engels one. I'm hoping that we at least get the same money for him, and if any half-decent offer comes in, then we let him go. In particular reason, when you look at who we've got in the midfield, we're short an engine in the midfield. When you watch Arne Engels in certain fashions in the game, he's hard to get turned and drive at players, and we need midfielders that are creative and driving at players. I know Nygren is in there, and he's not really much of an engine, but he's very good with his feet. But we need someone in that midfield, you know, in the likes of a good engine. You know, Neil Lennon, when he was running around with Celtic, that's an engine, and he could break up play. But that's what we need, someone like that.
What do you make of Arne Engels, Tony? Seems to be a real range of opinions on him out there.
I think Arne Engels looks like a typical European footballer. Came over and done all right. He's got great ability. His delivery is brilliant. However, it's not being as good as it first was. I think it looks to me as if he wants to go. I think you can see that. I think you see all the reports of him agreeing terms with West Ham, and I think he's a fit player. I watched a couple of games where he was motoring about and box to box running. He's really powerful. By all accounts, he is a very, very fit boy as well. I think he's a decent player. I don't think he's a £25 million player if you're getting £25 million for Matt O'Reilly. I think Matt O'Reilly's got a little bit more class. I think Nygren, like I said, looks like a better player on Monday. That's the first time I was really, really impressed with Nygren's all-round play. Don't get me wrong, last season he impressed me with a goal return, but that was the first time I was really impressed with his all-round play. I thought he was sharp. I thought he was cutting. I thought he was very forward-thinking, and it was as if him and Ho just clicked. I just don't think Engels, for me, is irreplaceable. Whereas that £25 million can go and get you three players at a very, very high level.
On the subject of legs, Alex, because for some people that should be a, you know, a sort of bare minimum, or maybe you're looking for more than that as a Celtic midfielder, maybe you're looking for more than that for a £25 million midfielder. But as John mentioned, if you were to take that out of the Celtic midfield, is that something that then particularly lacks? Because it also coincides with a time which you would have, you wouldn't have imagined this a couple of years ago, where Real Hatate is just
falling off a cliff.
Gone, you know, whether it's you know, because he's going to move, I assume he is, but he was out of favour before that anyway.
Gordon, see the interesting thing about it is I would have bitten hand off him in January for £25 million. I think when you speak to Celtic supporters, they go, "Ah, he's done okay." But for the money that they paid for him and the money they got offered in January, it's an incredible lift, and you'd quite happily sell him. If you could get Hatate, his head back in the place where he was, I think he could potentially be better. I think when he was at his pomp at Celtic, he was a step above.
I think that's
Engels.
I think you could almost say that's a fact. I think Hatate was top tier, but similar to Kyogo, similar to Maeda, I think these Japanese guys come over and know that they're only going to be at Celtic for a few years and they want to kick on. And I think Hatate, similar to Maeda, didn't get his move. He was linked with Saudi last year. He was linked with Ligue 1 and France. I don't want to start putting things out there, but I think Hatate looked as if he'd chucked it last year at the tail end of the season.
I don't want to put it out there, but he chucked it.
I feel like, and I just think looking at him as from a Celtic perspective, he just looked as if like he was doing Celtic a favour putting. I could be wrong, and I will apologise if I'm wrong. I just don't think he looked as if he had the heart that he had when he was under Ange.
See, when you talk about what wily characters and Martin O'Neill and his man management skills and all that, even if you can get this boy back on side, because obviously last season was
it looks beyond that now, though, doesn't it?
It possibly is, Gordon, but the idea is that you might throw a contract to him, he might go, do you know what, I'm going to try and get you, because it's easy to get your head back into the game.
He wasn't in the last squad, was he? He was in the stand the last game of the season, Hatate, and that's why I'm basing that off the fact that how can Real Hatate not be in Celtic's 20-man squad?
Okay, let's thank John for his time. That was John all the way from Canada. First time he's ever called as well, so thank
you
so much.
Good to see he's not lost his accent.
Thank you very much for doing that for us, John. Let's take a look to the future. I think we always on this show, every now and then it comes up, and callers and pundits alike are pretty passionate about the future of Scottish football, what it means for the national team, for clubs, how we improve things going forward, especially off the back of a World Cup that didn't go to plan on the pitch as well. It always brings things you know, even more into focus. So I don't know if you've seen this article and this study that's been done by The Athletic. It's excellent, it's very detailed. I know lots of you have been talking about it on social media, but if you haven't, I'm pleased to say that the guy behind it all, Jordan Campbell from The Athletic, joins us on the show now to talk us through it. Jordan, how's it going? How are you?
Yeah, it's all right, mate. I've just about recovered for the 3 months it took me to put that spreadsheet together, but yeah.
Well, this is the beauty of it. I was looking over the numbers there and thinking, I'm wasting my time. You can just do it live on radio and tell us the number that I'm sure you know off the top of your head. I think the headline, Jordan, is that it's pretty damning, right? That'd be a good place to start. The number of academy kids who are now leaving Scottish clubs to go to the bright lights of England, that number is going up, and we're not really seeing the benefits of it. Is that an accurate summation?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. So since freedom of movement ended in England in 2021, it meant that the English clubs obviously couldn't buy young European players until they're 18 anymore. So overnight, Scotland became a massive market. So in 5 years, 66 teenagers have left Scottish football for English academies. And if you go back all the way to 2012, only 604 have actually made it to then become a Scotland international. You know, I could bore you with more and more stats. You know, the vast majority of these boys basically don't make their debut in Scottish Premiership before they move. They don't ever play for the team they move to, and a lot of them sadly ended up back in Scotland playing part-time by the time they're in their early 20s. So that's the pretty grim part of it. But then there's obviously, you know, another side to that argument where there's clear pull factors, you know, great facilities down there, better games programme, better money, obviously, but there's also push factors because Scottish teams just aren't playing them. 4% of minutes in the last few years in the Scottish Premiership have gone to Scottish boys under 21. So, you know, they just aren't getting the opportunity. And if you're not going to get the opportunity, then you may as well get rich.
that's
I don't mind that.
Tony Watt's eyes lit up there. So 6 of 104 that have gone down went on to be Scotland players. So I'm talking Billy Gilmore, Ben Gannon-Doak. Yeah, would those be the types of names that we're sort of talking about? I think maybe the most damning part of that, Jordan, let's elaborate a bit more on what then becomes of the ones that don't become Scotland internationals. Because look, that's aiming high. You know, not everyone can go on and represent Scotland. Not everyone can go and play for an English Premier League side. But is what you found then that the drop-off after that is actually still quite extreme? You know, it's not like these boys are leaving for a top English club and then settling at a mid-range English club or settling at a top-level Scottish club. The drop then actually goes beneath that. Is that right?
Aye, well, I mean, this is the thing that we'll need to see in the coming years, because a lot of the agents and clubs I speak to, you know, they're saying that English clubs aren't really selling the dream anymore. So they're not saying to Scottish boys, you're going to come and be a Premier League star. They're saying that if you come to us, you know, one top six club I know came out with like an actual stat and said like X percent of boys, if you're here after 18, will have a prolonged career at League One or above. And that's enough to be earning $5,000-$7,000 a week for the rest of your life. And that's you know, a very good number. So a lot of these boys are being sort of, you know, being sold on that rather than a dream. But the sad thing, like, for Scottish football is that a lot of the scouts you speak to in England, they don't sign these boys thinking they're ever really going to make it in the Premier League. A lot of the time it's to, are they better than what we've already got in the building? And if they are, then that might help develop the English boy who's they're going to then sell for 40 million.
So the reality of it is then Scottish kids are being signed just to make up numbers in English academies?
Well, I mean, that, in some cases, I think that's the case. In other cases, these boys are very talented and they do go down and, you know, they're going to get better gym facilities, they're going to get better nutrition, they're going to play with better players. So, you know, I'm in no way sort of villainising any of the boys who go down or the agents who take them down, because what is the alternative? Because up here, you got a games programme that's never really been sorted out. So between 16 and 21, you just see these boys stagnate. And they're not playing against top-level players. We've seen the performance skills have been scrapped. The B teams that we tried in the Lowland League have been scrapped. You know, we've now got these loan cooperation agreements to try and improve it. But, the reality is that these boys aren't playing in the Scottish Premiership either. So the only whoever I speak to, whether it's Scottish Premiership club chiefs, whether it's English people, they all say the same thing. The only thing that Scotland can do to stop this from continuing is to offer a really quick, accelerated path to the first team. You need to be putting in these boys at 16, 17 to show them that you're going to play here quicker than you play in England. And that will hopefully keep them in the country. But until that happens, we can moan about England and say, oh, big bad Premier League clubs coming in and offering all this money. But, you know, it's hard for these boys and parents to say no to that, because there's no guarantees that if you stay in Scotland, you're going to have a professional career, you know? Does Ben Doak break through at Celtic? Does Billy Gilmore play at Rangers? We don't know, obviously, but it's hard to look at a real list of players who have stayed and done really, really well.
It's very difficult, that, Alex, because those numbers are damning. I don't think there's any other way of putting it. But as Jordan says, the fix is not an easy one. Because, you know what, Ben Doak as he was then, he made Celtic debut at 16. So I think there probably was a pathway for him. But when Liverpool chapped the door, and by the way, he's maybe we're wrong to focus on those ones, because it's been fine for them. They've gone on to be Scotland internationals. They'll be fine. You know, and we, whatever way you slice it, we as a national team, we'll benefit from Ben Gannon-Doak. We've benefited already. We've benefited from Billy Gilmore. For the rest, though, how do you
keep them here
as a 16-year-old when you are getting offered more money, better facilities, better quality of teammates? Even if the reality is, as Jordan's mentioned, the people he speaks to are almost admitting that some of the Scottish boys have been signed as jersey fillers.
Yeah,
you're still saying, well, I'm going to go down there, it's life changing.
If you get 6 to experience it, to fill a jersey.
Do you know the interesting thing about it is, and it's alarming what Jordan was saying there. So there's so many things. If you said to a 16-year-old that it's an English Premier League team wants to take you down the road, I would suggest that the majority will go. And unless you have real belief that you're actually going to go into a Rangers and Celtic at 16 or 17 and then kick on, the money they go down there is astronomical, especially the big clubs you mentioned there, Gordon, Liverpool, Chelsea. And but then you say, right, okay, even if they do get sporadic bits that they go in occasionally for a Rangers, Celtic, Hearts or Hibs, the games programme up here is a bit of shambles. You know, it's non-competitive.
What is that now?
And that's what I'm saying. So it's, but they've tried all these variations. They've tried to take them down to the lowland leagues to get the playing against men that quickly get kicked into the long grass.
Well, see that pathway to the first team, though? That's the bit that everybody's mentioning. We then, you know, talk about why first team managers are so reluctant to play young players. Again, we're talking about Celtic and Rangers. How much harder does that become, though? Say you're at St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, whatever, right? And I don't know, Newcastle, Fulham. I'm reluctant to use exact examples because, as Jordan says, don't villainise the kids that have gone.
No, not
or the families, or the, you know, anything like that. But let's say you're at St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, St Mirren. Your options are Everton, Newcastle, Fulham, right? That type of thing. Even if Kilmarnock say to you, "Oh, stay here and you'll play in the first team on £1,200 a week," that's still hard to then say. No to the riches that are on offer. Even if you know that this study, you've read this study, you know that your chances down the line, that takes a real set of you know what's and real long term thinking to know and say, no, I'm going to stay here.
I don't think you're getting £1,200 a week at a team like that either. To start, I think they'll give you £500-600 a week, and if you go out to England, the figures you're hearing down there is £4,000-6,000 a week for 17-18 year olds.
Then at the same time, what can be done? Something needs to be done.
Then they probably think, see, if I don't make it here, I'll go back to Kilmarnock and I'll have my few quid there. Something does need to be done. There needs to be a full reset of Scottish football from the top to the bottom, because even back when we played, it was only about 12, no, maybe a wee bit longer, 15, 16
but
years
see
ago.
That though, it's not that you're wrong, but is that quite hard? You know, what can we do, like, but shorter term and do something quicker and, you know, a full reset of everything?
What are the
is
age
like
groups that they're playing at now? It used to be 17s, 19s in reserves, right? And so even if they had a reserve league that was 16 games a year and you needed to play them and you need to fulfil them, now there could be one game, like you were speaking about today, you make a bounce game or you have none. There needs to be a place where 17, 18, 19 year olds can test themselves against men.
Jordan, a bit that really jumped out for me when I read your piece was we quite often make a correlation between the size of our league and the reluctance to play young players. There is a school of thought out there that managers in Scotland won't play young players because it's a small league, they don't want to risk relegation. But you actually found some examples that sort of go against that as a theory and suggest it's more of a culture thing.
Well, somebody pointed out to me that you know, they done a study, actually I think it was in the SFA report about 18 months ago, because the SFA are aware this is an issue, you know, so they done a report into it and made a few recommendations, but maybe didn't go down well for what I've gathered. But it was the Danish league is 12 and they've got two automatic relegation spots, so they had double the number under 21 homegrown players. So you go, it's clearly not just a structural thing where there's too many teams that are scared of relegation, too many teams fighting for Europe, too many teams fighting for the title to play young boys, because clearly it's a culture thing as well. And I just think that, you know, but boys at 16, you're still not guaranteed a career. You know, a lot can change between 16 and 18 and adapting to men's football, as Tony was saying. You know, it's a completely different kettle of fish when you're playing against grown men and it's physical and you might not adapt. But you know, you're going down south and you're playing, you know, maybe Category 1 football. It's top level football. And the thing that makes it a more potent sell, I think, for England is that if you fall out of Category 1 academy, how many divisions have you got of full-time teams? You know, the National League in England are probably playing more in wages than half the Scottish Premiership clubs. So you've got five divisions worth of teams, you know, maybe 90, 100 clubs that are full-time. In Scotland, if you fall out a top 12, 15 team in the country, you're very quickly staring part-time football in the face, and that's the real scary thing for a lot of these boys and their families, because you know they've put their whole life into this and put their whole childhood into it. So you're a brave person to say I don't fancy taking that. You know,
yeah. Do you know what, Jordan Campbell? I want to thank you for your time. The time is getting away from me, but genuinely, something I think we should probably pick up on again, because I think everybody likes getting involved in this type of discussion. Jordan's piece in The Athletic is brilliant. If you want to go and check it out, as he alluded to, lots of research gone into it, you know, backed up with real numbers and facts, not just people's theories, which you hear quite often. So thanks again to Jordan for taking the time. We better pause for breath and maybe squeeze some calls in as well. 01419511025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alex Ray and Tony Water here. 01419511025. We could maybe squeeze one in, but we ran a little bit late speaking to Jordan there. But I can see lots of people giving their opinions on social media. I think we might get some fallout from that tomorrow as well. Really interesting, thought provoking stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's damning. It's Scotland haven't produced enough in the last few years, especially top players. And like you say, the drop off, it is worrying for these guys that they fall out the game, and that something definitely needs to happen. They've done this performance schools, and then they've scrapped it after what, 12 years 13 years. What's the point in doing it if you're going to scrap it? Yeah, you need a long term. Is Japan's World Cup aim not a 100 year plan? They're 25 years in it, and by the way, they've improved over the last 25 years.
It was interesting what you were saying about the SFA recommendations 18 months ago, and there doesn't seem to be any take up on that by either the SPFL or the clubs. So if the clubs are not willing to engage in this stuff, Gordon, how do you actually move forward?
I thought it was quite interesting as well as how, because let's be honest, what we all do, what I think we are all guilty of, is we act like the solutions are sort of easy or stuff in the face are automatic. And that one, you do hear it all the time. The make the league bigger, then everybody will play the younger players because it won't be the same jeopardy. But there's a cast iron example of why it might not be as simple as that, because Jordan explained it. Denmark, same size of league, double the amount of automatic relegation spots, and also double the amount of minutes given to young players. So what are they not scared
and probably
of?
Probably more money getting in terms relegation. Of probably more money in terms of the take Celtic and Rangers away. The teams that
the
are
spread,
playing, yeah, there's probably more money there, so you can't even say it's a money problem. In Scotland, you probably think you should be playing the younger players because the money's
finances.
Not really there. But maybe the old one in Turkey, you need to play, is it three under 21 players?
Tried, or not, that three, years ago, didn't we?
Three homegrown ones.
You used to have X amount in a matchday squad, didn't you? And then I have heard managers from that time saying that didn't work either, because you were then giving those opportunities to kids who weren't ready and didn't deserve it yet. Yeah. But at the same time, it sounds like we're probably at breaking point, and you might, if it's a quota or something like that, you might need to take an imperfect solution to try and do something
forward,
to turn
it
in the right direction.
Two Scottish homegrown players every 11.
Or does it need to be X amount of minutes then, rather than a token, you know, in a squad? Does it need to be a percentage of minutes or
Turkey,
X amount of minutes?
I think
in
Turkey's
a,
might be
a season.
There needs to be three players at all times from the
academy,
Turkish nationality on the pitch. So, for instance, if you take one out, it needs to be another Turkish player going on.
Because this is not aimed at diminishing this argument, Alex, but what inevitably happens when we have these discussions, and I get it, people go back to, oh, we need to do this when kids are four, and we need to do this when we're five, and you've heard the one about playing PlayStations and keeping school pitches locked at night. You know, so it's not to say that stuff's not valid, but this kind of stuff is focused on at that elite level. How do we bridge the gap between sort of 16, 17, 18 and then making first team? Because it feels like, you know, you always hear tales of down the age groups or kids are sort of fine and they compete up to a point, but then it's that next step.
No, absolutely. I think if you go back to my old club Rangers, they won the, was it over Dubai? They won the, is it the last cup or something? They won that, and you think, oh, some really good boys, but no one's actually kicked on through that squad, Gordon. So you're right about the age from 16 to 21, that kind of adulthood then into men's football. And I think Jordan touched on that, 16 to 18, then you're up against men, and how do they adapt to that? But there seems to be a bigger fall off with the Scottish lads.
Now, what about your teaser, by the way? We've neglected that, but we've got time.
What about the boy Kenny?
Hold on, let me remind you of the question. We're looking for the last six players to score as a teenager for Celtic or Rangers. Finlay Curtis, Callum Osmond.
Kenny?
No.
Mikey Moore?
Yes. He got seven goals last season when he was 17 and 18.
Lowry?
Nope.
Oh, just because I seen him at the weekend.
Done well at the weekend, didn't he?
Right, okay, so
you're funny. Two academy kids at Celtic that went south of the border.
Have they done well when they went south of the border?
Hey, we've not heard loads from them, but
I'm stumped.
Rocco Vatta.
Oh,
he's done alright.
Daniel Kelly.
I've not heard much for him.
Went to your Millwall, did he not?
Yeah, Millwall.
And a Rangers loanee it was last season, scored against Dundee United. Just maybe forget he was a teenager.
Oh, it was a worldie as well, wasn't it?
Yep.
Left back. Magoma.
Yes.
Magoma. Good shout, son.
Well done, Jaden Magoma. Thank you, Alex Ray and Tony Watt. Thank you for your calls. Big night of European action tomorrow. Make sure you join us from 6 o'clock. Have a good one.